We're continuing our study from this morning about walking worthy of the Lord. We spent some time this morning looking at, we started in Colossians chapter 1, where he commands us in verse 10 to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. We studied about that change that has to take place for us to do that. That is the change from the way we walked before we were in Christ, when we walked after the course of this world, when we were walking in darkness, when we were walking according to our own desires. But then that repentance has to take place, and we have to change our steps to walk in the steps of Christ, to walk worthy of the Lord. And we looked at quite a few scriptures showing us the steps of Christ and what it means for us to walk worthy of the Lord, following after him. We have more details to look at in our study tonight as we continue to look at what God's Word teaches about walking worthy of the Lord. And part of that is walking in truth. We have a lot of scriptures that teach us about walking in truth. And let's turn first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, though, where he says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So as this morning we saw many scriptures that teach about that change that has to take place and for the direction that we're walking in to now walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But as we, after we've made that change, after we've become a Christian, we can see here the Lord is teaching us how we need to grow in our walking and in the steps of Christ. As we have received how we ought to walk and to please God, we then need to abound more and more in doing so. So this is where we have the opportunity to study the different ways in which the Lord tells us how we can abound in walking in the steps of Christ and walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, a verse that we know well, as we start to look at what it means to, as part of this abounding in our walking worthy of the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures about our walking in truth. In Romans 10 verse 17, he identifies the word of God as being the source of our faith. He says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Well, similarly, he teaches in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So here he mentions in verse 4 that he had heard of their faith, but how did that faith come? He says that faith came because they had heard in the word of the truth of the gospel. So their faith came by hearing the word of God, just like everyone who is going to have faith in God. All of us have to have that faith coming from hearing God's word. And there he refers to hearing that truth of the gospel. And so when we are to walk in truth, of course, we're going to be walking after God's word. Which is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says we must walk by faith and not by sight. So we have to have faith, which comes from hearing God's word, and then we have to walk by that faith. And so then, of course, if we have that faith coming from God's word, we're going to be walking according to the word of God to be able to walk by faith. And as we just saw in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, that when we hear God's word, that we are hearing the word of the truth of the gospel. God's word is truth. Psalm 119, that longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 51 says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." I think we're supposed to look at 151, not verse 51 there. Sorry about that. That was a good one, too. But he says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." So all of God's commandments are the truth. So when we are hearing God's word, when we're hearing his commandments, we're hearing his truth. So can we separate the word of God, truth, and his commandments? No, all of that goes together. John 17:17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So as he was praying to his Father, he acknowledged that it's his word, God's word, that is that truth. So that's why we have to walk in truth. Walking in truth, walking in faith, which comes from hearing that truth of the word of God, is speaking about the same thing. So we are to walk by faith. We are to walk in the truth. Let's see this in 2 John, the book of 2 John, verse 4. It's a one-chapter book, but verse 4 says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So he's commanded us to walk in truth. Well, if that truth is God's word, thy word is truth, then to walk in truth means we're walking after the commandments, just like walking by faith means we're walking after God's word. So we have to walk after the commandments of God. 3 John, the book of 3 John, verses 3 and 4, 3 John verses 3 and 4, he says, For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So as children of God, what are we supposed to be walking in? If we're going to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and again, that's why when we saw that scripture at the beginning of our study this morning, Colossians 1:10, chapter 1 and verse 10, tells us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's introduced by verse 9, where his prayer is that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, we have to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God unto all spiritual, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that would stand to reason then that for us to walk by faith, if we're going to walk fully by faith, how much faith do we need? Well, we need all faith. And how much of God's word do then we need to hear? And if we're going to walk in the truth, how many of God's commandments do we have to walk in to be fully walking in the truth? So we need to know all of the will of God. We do need to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We do need to know all of his commandments. Again, as the Great Commission tells us in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, it's not just that we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, which we must, but he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So that's part of the job. Well, that means our job is also to learn all those commandments. How are we going to teach others all the commandments that God has taught if we don't know them? So we have to learn those ourselves. And that's God's will for us to know all of his commandments. So and all of his commandments are truth, and we're to walk in the truth. So how many commandments of God can we forsake? How many of his commandments can we say that it's not really important or necessary to walk in to be pleasing to God? We happen to walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, which is why we need to walk in the truth, which right here in 2 John, or in the book of 2 John again, and as we saw in verse 4, when he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, verse 6 of 2 John says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So if we're going to walk in truth, we have to walk after the commandments. God says that his desire is that as we've heard from the beginning, that we should walk in his commandments. And then, of course, that great commandment to walk in love. So that's God's instruction. So if we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we have to understand that means walking after his word, the teaching of his words, walking in his commandments. So we have to know and follow all the commandments of God. Well, this is also going to then tie into the teachings that we have in Scripture to walk in the light. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 50. And let's look there at verse 10, Isaiah 50 and verse 10. He says, Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So what are we walking in? Well, we better not be walking in darkness. To obey God is to walk in the light, not to walk in darkness. So we need to turn from that darkness to walk in light, which means we need to obey God. So to walk in the light is going to require that we walk after God's commandments, to obey him, which is going to mean that we're walking in the way that Christ walked, as we also studied about this morning. Let's turn to the New Testament again, now to the Gospel of John, to chapter 12. John chapter 12. And if you haven't noticed already, the words that God inspired through the Apostle John, including the Gospel of John, also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, there are some common themes that the Lord used the Apostle John to speak and teach and write about, that disciple whom he loved. And walking in the light, walking in the truth, and walking in the love of Christ and all that that means. We're going to learn a lot of this subject of walking worthy of the Lord in our study of the writings of the Apostle John, the inspired writings that we have in the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as we've already seen scriptures in all of those books in our studies thus far. Now, John chapter 8, if we can turn there now and read verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Well, we need to turn from walking in darkness. We must walk in the light. Well, Jesus is that light. He is the light of the world. And so if we do follow him and walk in his steps, we're going to be walking in the light because he is that light. We can't walk in the steps of Christ and be in darkness. And by the same token, we can't be walking in the light if we're not walking in the steps of Christ. So it should be very clear that Christ is the light of the world and that we have to walk in his steps in order to walk in the light and not in darkness. Following Christ will mean that we're walking in the light and not in darkness. Let's look at chapter 11, John chapter 11, and verses 9 and 10. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, of course, Jesus' point there was not about how easy it is to walk around in the daylight. I mean, that's true. That's the point. That's analogy he's making. When you can't see where you're going, you're stumbling around. Well, he's, of course, making a spiritual application based on that. We don't need to be walking in darkness spiritually. We need to be walking in the light, which means we need to follow Christ because he is that light. Let's turn to John 12, and let's look at verses 35 and 36. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. We need to be children of light, which is going to be determined by how we're walking, whether we are walking in the light. If we're children of light, we're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the steps of Christ. So we have a lot of teachings about that. Christ being the light of the world and our need to walk in the light and being children of light, as we walk in his light. Well, let's go to 1 John now. As we said, we see this in this theme of being one of the ones that comes up over and over again in these books that the Lord inspired through the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that's the nature of God. He is light. There's no darkness in him. And of course, Jesus came having the nature of the Father, and that's why he is the light of the world. There's no darkness in him. Verse 6 says, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, We lie and do not the truth. That word fellowship being in partnership. Is there any partnership between light and darkness? Well, of course, that's the a question that he asks in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in that passage from 14 to 18. Is there communion, fellowship between light and darkness? There's not. Well, God is light and in him is no darkness. If we're walking in darkness, how can we say, truthfully say, we have fellowship that is partnership with God who is only light? Well, then, if we say that, that's a false claim. That's why he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there, that basis of our having fellowship with God is also the same, very same identical basis upon which we have fellowship with each other, those that are in God's family. Those that are his children, which by definition means we're to be children of light, as he is in the light. Well, he's light and no darkness, so we have to walk in the light to be in fellowship with the one who is light and no darkness. But we also need to all walk in the light so we can have fellowship one with another. Which means when we put all that together, how much darkness should there be in God's family? There's none in the Father, there should be none in the children. So there, that's walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing for us to do that. Chapter 4 now, if we can turn to 1 John chapter 4, as the Lord tells us that he is light and in him is no darkness, well, he's describing that with a word here in 1 John 4 and verse 8. Of course, it's the Greek word agape. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So when God is light and there's no darkness in him, it's because God is love, and there's no darkness in the love of God. It's all light. Verse 16, of course, he says the same thing in 1 John 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So when we're seeing that definition of the nature of God, that that he is light and that he is love, well, we have to walk in the love of God and in order to be walking in the light, which is where we want to go next. But let's turn to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." We've seen the relationship between walking by faith and walking in truth, that is, walking after the commandments of God, and how that is also then going to enable us to be walking in light as we're obeying God and not to be walking in any darkness because God is only light. But then he says God is love, so we have to walk in his love. So if we're going to walk in truth, if we're going to walk in the by faith, if we're going to walk in the light, we have to walk in his love because that's his very nature. So there he tells us, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. So we need to walk in love. Otherwise, we can't walk in the steps of Christ. So let's turn now back to the book of 1 John here to now to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we want to read from there verses 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." So God is love, and God is light. In him is no darkness. Well, those two things, do they go together? Well, yes. I mean, that's his very nature, is love. And he says if we don't love, but rather if we hate our brother, then we are not walking in the light, we're walking in darkness. So to walk in the light requires us to walk in the love of God, which particularly means we have to love one another. As he's going to teach us in chapter 4, how can we love God, whom we have not seen, if we don't love our brother whom we have seen? Let's turn to chapter 4 and look at verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So to walk in the light, we have to walk in love. Well, how are we going to show that we're walking in love? Well, primarily by our love for one another. Now, of course, we have been commanded to love all men and also to do good unto all men as we therefore have opportunity to. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 commands us to do that. So we are to love all men. We are to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. But who are we in honor to prefer? Well, that's why that same verse says, especially those who are of the household of faith. And we have to have a love for those who are in God's family. We have to love the father of the family. But how can we love the father of the family if we don't love his children? I mean, that would make no sense whatsoever. If we're going to love the family of God, we have to love the father of the family. We have to love the other children that are in the family, one another. And those are the ones that God gives us to show his love to in this life. And that is what that new commandment is, that we love one another as Christ has loved us. So we have to walk in love and show that love one to another, to our brethren. That's why he tells us to love each other in deed and in truth. And this will take us back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So is walking in love, is it just by what we say, just to say the words, I love you? Is he telling us there that we should not state that when he says don't love in word or neither in tongue? No, that's not what the meaning is. It means limited to that, because we can find lots of scriptures where the Lord stated the love that he had for his disciples. And we see that many times with the Apostle Paul expressing his love for his brethren. So that's a good thing to do, to say that. But if that's where it stops, just with words, if we say we love our brother, but we don't do anything to help our brother, I mean, do we really love him? And the way we assure our hearts before God and know that we are of the truth is by doing that. God knows the truth. So if we're claiming to love our brother, but our heart is condemning us because we're not doing that in deed and in truth, God knows our hearts, and he's going to judge us according to what we do, not according to what we claim. But of course, our claim should be matched up by our deeds. So if we claim we love the brethren, which we should, well, we need to show that. And of course, we did skip 16 and 17 a moment ago, but we want to go back to that when he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Right, that's a good question. Of course, the answer to that question is, it doesn't. It can't. God's love can't dwell in us if we don't demonstrate that love in our deeds, especially towards each other. So if one of us has a need, we have to be ready and also to fulfill that need as the Lord gives us opportunity. That would apply to physical needs that may be there, and he describes that situation directly in that passage. We have plenty of other passages that also address spiritual needs, whatever they are, whatever needs that that any of us may have. We need to be ready to help each other in whatever way that is possible for us to do, as the Lord would use us to do that. We can't just say, well, I love you, and then not do anything. That would be loving in deed, in word and in tongue, but not in deed and in truth. And then God's love wouldn't dwell in us, and then our heart's going to condemn us before God because we're not going to have the deeds. So we have to walk in love, which means we have to show that by our deeds, especially to our brethren. Let's look at John chapter 13, the example that Christ set in this. And of course, this is the chapter where he gave that new commandment. Let's turn over to John chapter 13. And in verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, is the world going to show the love of Christ to each other? No, they're not, because they don't know him. But we do. We must, in order to be in him. And so the love that we have to each other should be in fulfillment of this new commandment from Christ, that we love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, Christ didn't just say those words. Of course, he loved in word and in tongue, but not only. He loved in deed and in truth, and that goes back to the beginning of the chapter here of John chapter 13. We want to look at starting at verse 3. He says, "All things were made..." I went all the way back to John chapter 1 there. Sorry about that. John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said and saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know you what that I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So he left an example. He taught and exemplified what it means to love the brethren. When he says, "Love one another as I have loved you," well, there it is. Jesus demonstrated his love in serving his disciples. I think we are all familiar with the way things were back in that time, the way they got around. Their primary means of transportation in that time was what? Their 2 feet. It wasn't like a lot of the things that we're used to with clean paved roads and all that we drive on. No, they were walking on pathways and roads that were dirt. They generally wore open sandals, that kind of footwear. So you walk around on your feet on dirt roads all the time. What are your feet going to look like? They're going to be very dirty. They're going to be quite filthy. Not many people are going to be even with the conveniences that we have nowadays. Most people aren't going to be real thrilled to grab somebody else's foot. That's just not something we really like to do. Point being, this was a very lowly and dirty job. He did something. Here's the Son of God. He is humbling himself greatly to take the dirty feet of his disciples and to wash them. He was giving a demonstration by his example in loving each other. what deed should we consider to be too good for us? Or we're too good for it, or that job is too lowly for us. We shouldn't have pride. Wish we had time that we could go back to the book of Nehemiah right now. That book that describes the rebuilding of the wall of around Jerusalem, and especially in chapter 3 where he starts and goes all the way around. Is telling who's working at what section of the wall, and where he starts is where he finishes at the end of that chapter. But in the midst of that, we read about some men of Tekoa who wouldn't put their hands to the work. These were nobles from Tekoa. They were nobility. They weren't going to get down in there and be getting their hands dirty and building a wall. They thought themselves too good for that, too high for that kind of work. And of course, the Lord wasn't pleased with that, and that's why he left that testimony of that in there. But look at Christ, God's Son. Was there anything that he said, well, that's just, I'm not doing that. That's too lowly for me. Not at all. He humbled himself, and there he was washing his disciples' feet. Well, what should our heart be? We should be willing to do whatever the job is. Whatever the need one of our brethren has, we should be willing to do that. And we should be eager to do that as part of our service to Christ himself. And that is walking in love. That is walking in the steps of Christ. And that is fulfilling his will in walking worthy of him. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, we see, and we're going to close here, but we see a spiritual application to this. And this is the mind we need to have towards each other. But let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the kind of love we need to have for each other, but we need to be humble. We've got to be meek, and we need to, in order to work with each other and love one another, and so that we can endeavor to keep that unity, the Spirit, and the bond of peace. I mean, we have to have humility and meekness, long-suffering and forbearance towards each other. So all the things that we have to practice in that regard in order to love each other, as brethren, the Lord commands us to do, and we also notice there that is very directly connected to walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called, to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, this is an opportunity again tonight for anyone that is here that has not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ for you to do so tonight. That is the Lord's desire. He commands us all to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. He gives us that commandment in Acts 2, verse 38. That's how we put on Christ in Galatians 3 and verse 27. That's how we have our sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. That's how we have our name written in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, that's how we are added to his church, Acts 2:47, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. There are many of the blessings that we have. It's only available when we obey his gospel. And all those things do happen at that time when we become a Christian, have our name written in heaven, have hope of eternal life with our sins washed away, and then being added to his kingdom, his church. If that is your need tonight, won't you come forward and obey his gospel so that you can inherit all of those blessings and then begin to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing? Or if you are a member of the body of Christ tonight, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to come back to him so that you can please him and walk worthy of him, we're encouraging you to do that. Whoever needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come right now and do so as we stand together and sing.